Psalm 148, we're going to jump right into our message here tonight. Psalm 148, you have Luke 19. We're going to read a few verses in Psalm 148, actually the chapter. Pray, and then we'll jump right into our message here. Notice verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His host. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons, and all deeps, fire and hail and snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beast and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, and princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto Him. Praise ye the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the wonderful messages that we've already heard, the challenges that we've had in this day sessions, for each man that has come and prepared even those day sessions already. Lord, the messages last night, the encouraging words we've heard from the ladies in their sessions, we do pause for a moment tonight, even in the middle of the meeting, and just say thank You for using this sanctified time to speak to our hearts and challenge us and encourage us. I pray for this message and the message to follow that You'll use it for Your honor and for Your glory, for it's in Christ's name we pray, and amen. Tonight I want to bring a message titled, Praise His Holy Name. Praise is something that often, I think, in many of our churches and sometimes even in our own individual lives, is left out maybe more than it should be. Yet it is so important. And even in the context of a local church, may I submit to you that when lost people walk in here, the last thing they would need is a dead, dry, liturgical, formal church. They need to see a church that's alive, praising God. And you'll see throughout this message, I'm not talking about some charismatic, whacked out stuff. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about praising His holy name biblically. We should never allow our praise to be shallow. Our natural tendency many times is to kind of morph into our comfort zone, and the praise sometimes is the first thing to go out the window. And if we're not careful, when we sing, true worship and true praise is nowhere to be found. If we're not careful, we just kind of ritualistically go through the motions. And by the way, you say, well, how do you know that? Because I've done it before. I've caught myself singing, Jesus paid it all. Just because I was tired or something. He didn't just pay it all. He paid it all. Amen? It's not just power, power, power. It is wonder-working power, right? And we lose sometimes, if we're not careful, the true biblical meaning of what it means to praise God. Look, if you would, at Luke 19 just quickly and notice verse 37. You're there already. Luke 19, verse 37. And when He was come, this is Jesus here, and when He was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto Him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. The Pharisees objected to the disciples publicly proclaiming that Jesus as the promised king of the Old Testament. Jesus doesn't say, well, you know, I understand. He said to the Pharisees, my disciples are, they're a little bit overzealous. They're just mistaken. I'll take care of that right away. Thank you so much for bringing that to my attention. To the contrary, he says that if the disciples would keep their mouths closed, he said that the stones would cry out. Now, what about these stones? Jesus in Luke chapter 3 and verse 8, John the Baptist said in Luke 3, 8, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Okay, so that's organic matter from inorganic matter. That's what Darwin said that you came from, just a bunch of rocks. But Darwin had you coming from rocks by random chance. The only one who can bring life to dead rocks is God Almighty. The law of biogenesis, a provable and demonstrable law of science, states that you cannot get life from lifelessness. But in Luke chapter 3 and verse 8, you have God saying that really he can take these stones and turn them into human beings. Of these stones, he could raise up children unto Abraham. Turn over real quickly, if you would, to Joshua 24. Joshua 24. I'm going to show you something here real quick. Joshua 24. Probably won't be able to see this, but I'm going to put it up here anyway. This is my other visual. Praise him, or we will. Pastor Keck had a whiteboard. I got some rocks. Got to have something to let you see what we're talking about here. We'll refer to those in just a little bit. Joshua 24, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Look at verse 27. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us. For it hath heard all the words of the Lord, which he spake unto us. And it shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. Now follow me here for a minute. Jump up to verse 26. Notice, and Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. He told the children of Israel that the stone had heard everything that God said to them. And if they turned away from God, he said that the rocks would be called to the stand as a witness against them. That stone had recorded all the words of God that he spoke to the Israelites. Do you know what audio tapes and discs and computer chips are made from? They're made from silicone. They're made from stone. That's rock, that's sand. Back in 1993, scientists developed equipment which could pick up sound waves from rocks 24 hours after that they heard. Now, think about this for just a minute. And I love when science catches up with the Bible. How about you? If man can do that, don't you know that God has a surveillance system of his own that puts anything that the American government could ever contrive to shame? If a man's going to give an account for every idle word that he speaks, all God has to do is pull up these rocks and the stones and the boulders and retrieve every recorded word on them, like you would retrieve data from your computer. So God is able of these stones to bring life and have them talk. And when he does, they'll testify to what they heard you say. Now, but in this case, look at 19 real quick, if you would. But in this case, God says the rocks will cry out of the things that we do not say. Look at verse 40 again. In this case, God says the rocks will cry out of the things that we do not say. Verse 40, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. In essence, praise him or these will. Praise him or these will. This message really is about making sure these stones don't do what we're supposed to do. That's praising him, praising his holy name. These stones, if they could speak, what would they be saying? They'd be saying, holy, holy, holy. They'd be saying many of the things that we should be saying. They would magnify his name. They'd say, thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power. Say to the church tonight, praise him or these will. I don't want somebody doing something that I should be doing. Or something doing something that I should be doing. So let's follow the scriptural command, making sure that we are praising his holy name. Think about this for just a minute. People give their praise to everything under the sun. Their concerts, their ball games, their Muslims at Mecca, their favorite actors and sports heroes and all this. And I love a good ball game. I do it. I love it. I watch it. I play it. I enjoy it. But God forbid that I should ever be fanatical at a ball game and I won't praise God for who he is and what he's done. People lift their voices in their pocketbooks constantly for the latest craze, which is getting all the attention while the God of humanity is largely ignored. And if there's anybody worthy of praise, it's him. The word praise is full of meaning. It means to shine like a light bursting forth, to glory, to make a fool. There's nothing wrong with expression in praising the Lord. David in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 14 says, he danced before the Lord with all his might. I know you can't use the word dance in Baptist churches, but that's what it says. So notice in your notes, we'll take a few minutes and just consider, I'll go through these quickly and consider this thought, praise his holy name. By the way, a lot of the new Bibles, they remove that word holy. Kyle Stevens, his son is on staff at our church and he preached for us just recently. He's got a scale rating Baptist churches 1 to 5. Yeah, I don't know if you heard that. I'm a 6. I just want you to know that. No. Just so you know. But he was just preaching for it. By the way, his book on certainty of the words of truth, I encourage you to get that. Notice in your notes, if you would, the call for you to praise. Look at Psalm 150. Psalm 150, it says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Do you have breath tonight? Praise his holy name. Notice it's not a suggestion to praise. If you didn't know that the praise the Lord is the number one repeated command in all of the Bible. There's nothing, not even a second close. Number one command in all of the Bible. Praise it to be expressive. Even means to hold out the hands. People say, well, I praise on the inside. No. Praise is active. Worship can be quiet. Praise is expressive. And you and I are called to praise the Lord. And if we're not careful, we'll allow the charismatics and we'll look at them and we don't like the way they do it. So we become reclusive and dry and dead because we don't like the way they do it. Oh, I've already seen it. You got somebody in the church and they're sitting together, the husbands and wives, and then they're looking and they're like, you know, somebody's singing a song and they just, you know, even a Baptist church, they put their hands up. Honey, look, we got a live one. Third row. I'm a dispensationalist as well, but Paul said, lift up holy hands. I'm not going to let the charismatic stop me from praising God. And I'm telling you, a lot of the times the world will just suck everything out of you and we won't praise Him like we're supposed to. And if we don't, these will. And I don't like people doing things that I should be doing. And that's what Jesus said to the Pharisees. If these disciples don't do it, these rocks will. I believe Him. Secondly, notice the cause for you to praise. You have it in your notes, Psalm 18. Here's the cause. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the name of the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Really, what's the cause for us to praise Him anyway? Because He's worthy. Every single day. I challenge you to get alone with God. Prostrate before your Creator. Put your nose in the dirt. Remind, not that He doesn't know, but you can tell Him, I'm nothing. You're everything. And get up and just start taking a list and writing down on a piece of paper how good God has been to you. I'm embarrassed how good God has been to me. And monetary aside of if God's blessed you, in a fiscal way, in a monetary way, it isn't even about money. God is good even when you don't have any money. Unfortunately, there's many Christians who have lost the sight of the majesty of God. And they've lost their shout and they've lost their wonder and their adoration of who God really is. Amen. They've forgotten that He is worthy, and the cause for you and I to praise should go without saying, and that is because He has been so good to us. He's good and worthy of His for what He's done, for what He's doing now. And can I say this? For what He's going to do. Thirdly, notice, if you would, the consequences of your praise. The consequences. Look at verse 23 of Psalm 50. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. If you came to me and you sat in my office and you said, you know, I want to glorify God. By the way, I've not yet met a Christian who really doesn't want to glorify God. So if you said to me, I want to glorify God, what do I really want? What do I need to do? Well, it says right here that if you offer praise, you glorify Him. We overcomplicate it. It is not that hard. When you offer praise, you glorify Him. Amen. The devil hates it when you praise God. The ultimate goal is that the devil would stop all praise to God. Prayer is warfare, but praise is victory. When we praise, Satan flees. Therefore, Satan hates our praising the most. God's children are foolish if they stop praising God, even in the hardships. Remember Paul and Silas when they were in prison, Acts 16:25. They prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them and they're praising God inside the jail. And the praise literally broke the jail doors. They praised God. And the chains broke and the jailer saved. I think we'd be surprised what praise could do in our lives. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. But then I want you to notice, if you would, the conduct in your praise. The conduct. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, you can turn there if you'd like, or I think I have it in your notes here. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord had filled the house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves. So again, we're talking about our conduct in our praise. They bowed. See the humility here. They bowed themselves with their faces upon the ground. Faces to the ground. Upon, it even says, upon the pavement, and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good. His mercy endureth forever." When God began to move, his praise began to spread like wildfire throughout the congregation. They stood in awe. Look at the text. They responded by bowing before him in his wonder and in his greatness, and they praised him and worshiped him by humbling themselves before him. They were merely praising God for who he was. There's a lesson in that for us. They fell in humble adoration. They gave the glory to God that was due unto his name. Our churches need to be places of praise. I was in Germany for the 400-year anniversary for the King James Bible, and with a group, and handing out Bibles and doing some stuff. And I remember, I was always, when we were out soul winning, I was drawn to the young people. And I remember asking this one guy, I think it was Gunter, about the churches. And I'm standing there, Brother Daniel, and there's beautiful stained glass windows, you know, churches all over the place. And I said, "Tell me about these churches. Do you go?" "No, we don't go to church." "So have you been?" "Yeah, we've been." I said, "Tell me a little bit about it. What is it like?" He said, "It's deader than a doornail." And here's a young guy, completely lost, who, if he did walk into a church and he actually saw a church that was alive, praising a God who, by the way, is alive. And that's a reflection many times. But if they just see, you know, us, and all of us can do it. I'm not trying to be caustic. I'm just being transparent. Of course, I gave him the Word of God and told him how to be saved and tried to encourage him. Praise and worship is rendering the glory due unto his name, ascribing worth to the Lord. And thank God we have a God who is worthy of our praise. They worship the Lord, saying, "For he is good." And they did it vocally. We have to remember we do have a God and serve a God who loves to be praised. Psalm 47:1, "Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with your voice of triumph." I want you to notice next the courage with your praise. The courage. Look at Psalm 56 and verse 3. "What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." In public, we can praise God and testify. Everywhere we go, manifesting the truth. "And if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." Wherever you go, have some courage to praise. I heard about a preacher who was trying to sell a horse. A potential buyer came by the church for a test drive. "Before you start," the preacher said, "the horse only responds to church talk." He said, "Go is praise the Lord. stop is amen. So the man gets on the horse. The Lord begins to trot. The man says, praise the Lord. It begins to gallop. Suddenly there's a cliff right in front of the horse, and the man yells, amen! And the horse stops right in front of the cliff, right at the edge. He wipes his sweat from his brow and he says, praise the Lord. On a serious note, this is my favorite point in this message that the Lord gave me here just a couple months ago, meditating on this thought of praise. In God, I will praise His word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what man will do unto me, what flesh can do unto me. We live in a world where no one seems to be ashamed to praise their God, small g. It doesn't matter how immoral, how vile, how repugnant, how repulsive. They will shout it from the housetop and praise their God. And they will mock that which is holy. They'll make fun of your Bible. And they will laugh at your God. Where are the Christians that will stand up unashamed and say, not on my watch? We sit in church sometimes and we feel safe and we're willing and we engage and we say amen, but then we get out there in the world. I mean, some Christians, they don't even put on their social media that they're a Christian. Okay? Have some courage. I don't have social media, but I think wherever you do, wherever you testify, let people know you're a child of God. Lift His name up. Where's the courage to praise His holy name? David said in Psalm 56, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And therein lies the problem, fear. Just real quickly, I give you a little... I don't do rabbit trails. I told this to Pastor DeMichael. I do controlled parentheticals. So I'm just going to... A while back, a guy in our church asked me if I'd go fishing with him. I said, yeah, I'd love to go after work. Normally, I just jump at it, but at that particular, I didn't really want to go. But I had been discipling this guy, and I said, yeah, I'll go. I finished my shift, grabbed my pole. We were going to go down to the dock, which is in Edmonds, about 15 minutes from our house. We go down to the dock, and I walk out there. It's about probably 75, 80 guys on the dock, and they're fishing. They're all fishing for king salmon. And so I take my rod, and he's got his. We're kind of jammed in a little bit like this. And I throw my line in the water and I cast out. And I looked at my buddy here, and I said, hey, we forgot to pray. Hey, let's just pray. I said, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for your word. We love you. We praise you. Pray you bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Guy next to me goes, yeah, you catch a fish after that, I'm going to your church. Whatever, right? Just normal stuff, right? Well, God is my witness. It was my third or fourth cast, Brother John, and all of a sudden, just fish on, right? And Daniel knows this. If I get a fish, they know in Australia that I've got a fish on. It is on. And I'm fighting this thing, just fish on, fish on. I'm taking it down the thing, you know, and we're trying to wear it out because down there you got to lower the crab net so you can put it in the crab net and then they pull it up. And I'm fighting the fish and fighting the fish and finally I land this huge king salmon in the net and he pulls it up and the guy drops it on the thing and I'm just shaking. I'm just looking at this thing. The guy walks up to me and he says, hands me a pen and a piece of paper. He goes, can you write down the address to your church? I'm dead serious. I am dead serious. So the irony of the story is, first of all, he came to church with his girlfriend. I would love to, the next Sunday, I'd love to say he was gloriously saved. That'd make the story even better. But a seed was planted. Hallelujah. Well, how did that happen? Just take a little teeny opportunity. I knew he was going to hear me. You know when you're preaching at a restaurant, Lord, thank you for this food. You gave it to us. All creation is yours. And Father, for the inerrancy of Scripture and for the lost people around me, whatever, right? Just use any little opportunity you have to lift Him up. And He'll draw all men unto Him. Funniest part of that story is a guy comes by, no joke, dead serious. He walks from the end of the dock, Pastor Welder, and he says, I've been here for 10 hours. That's the first fish to come off the dock. Hey, that's my God. Don't tell me he didn't send that fish right over to me. You could never tell me that. Amen. And then lastly, we'll close with this thought, the consistency of your praise. Look at Psalm 113. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. I want to say to the church tonight that if we really become focused, and since I've been meditating on this thought, I'm just going to be transparent. I've been purposely trying to be more focused on it in every little opportunity I get just to praise Him for anything. I've always done this way, but just looking at a glass of water. Most of the world doesn't have clean drinking water. It's okay to look at it and go, Lord, thank you for this water. All of it is yours. It came from you. I got thank you. Little things, big things, praise Him for everything. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. We're commanded to. Someone said that life is not about waiting for the storms to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain. God is good all the time. There's never a time that His name is not to be praised. Before we got up today, God's name was being exalted in Europe and in Africa. And after we go to bed tonight, the sun will still find people lifting up the praises of God in Asia and the islands of the sea. Spurgeon said, praise is the rehearsal for our eternal song. Let's be consistent in our praise. See, how do you do that? From the rising of the sun, from the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. If we don't, these will. Father, we love you and we thank you for loving us. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, your patience with us as we fail you. Thank you for Pastor Welder, his staff, his church, and the willingness to put this meeting on and to invest in his own church and in pastors across this country. Thank you for speaking to my heart. And I pray that you'll take this simple thought here today of praising his holy name. And I pray that you'll use it in all of our lives to make sure we are giving you the glory and the honor and the praise that you are due. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name and amen.